Hey there. This is Brad, Nesson.com's football picks podcast. See, we're literally 15 seconds into the season, and I kind of already forgot what this was, so we're off to a great start. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined, as always, by Ricky Doyle and Andre Kachaturian. We are all on location, because that is the COVID world, as we kind of discussed in our preview episode. But we are on to week one, so we're back to make our Against the Spread picks for week one of the NFL season. It is a new year. Things are different, but it's good to be back and doing this. And this will be my first disclaimer that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in week one. And I think that's even more so this year. I don't know what you guys think
about that. Especially with the environment we're in. No training camp. Oh, we have training camp. No preseason. And, you know, you got basically everybody in the, like, you got five new head coaches. You don't know how those teams are going to be with new environment, new quarterback situation. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, especially without any preseason.
I know that, you know, usually we will throw a lot of trends out there, some of them being year over year. It's almost like they're irrelevant this year. You know, it's just virtue of, maybe not irrelevant, but I mean, it's just you have no idea what types of variables are going to come into play, whether it's losing guys due to, you know, COVID-19 or just the general, like, unpredictability of home field advantage. I mean, not playing in front of fans, what impact's that going to have? So trying to figure out these games is difficult. Trying to figure them out from a betting standpoint is even more difficult.
It's interesting. I was doing some prep work as I was doing yard work. I was simultaneous, multitasking.
Very versatile.
On Labor Day, never off, you know. But I was listening to a good podcast with Pat Mayo, who has his own, like, media network now, but he's done stuff and continues to do stuff for DraftKings. And he had Rob Pizzola on. And Rob is he's a guy I'm actually familiar with, met a few times out in Vegas when we were doing OddShark stuff back in the day. He's a brilliant guy. He's, like, number system-oriented. He's a professional bettor, and he was in basically a crash course in betting on the NFL, and he was talking about how, like, trends don't really mean much of anything to him. And as I was doing my research for this week, I was like, I can only go off of trends because I'm not, you know, I haven't dug in enough on these teams, I guess, and it's so hard to know. It's just so unpredictable. So really all you have to go off of, for me at least, is trends. But the trends might not mean anything at all because things are so different this year. So.
Interesting. All of the spreads on, like, the Vegas spreads, is how do they even determine it based on
– It's all – and I think you're going to see this as we go through. A lot of it is very boilerplate spreads. You know what I mean? Like, but even then, like, you look at, like, you know, we have a couple of games that are basically like a field goal here, and it's like, okay, so the home team gets the 3 points that they always get, I suppose. But, like, is home field advantage really worth 3 points – in this day and age? It's so, you know, we'll get into that with a couple of these games especially, but it's just another thing to kind of consider. And I don't think it's something we're going to know for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, it's something, I mean, we're already seeing it dating back several years, but especially last year, where that home field advantage, that 3 points that's sort of built in there is coming down as it is.
I mean, it's really 2.5.
Home field advantage, what's that?
It's really 2.5. For most places. I mean, maybe at Lambeau in December, you get 3.5, but yeah.
But it's, you know, it's already trending in that direction of being minimal. And now we add into this, you know, all these other variables into the equation. So it'll be interesting to see, but I'm sure we'll address that at various points throughout our picks today.
It's going to be bizarre too. I was watching who did Navy play? Navy played Sunday night. I mean, I forget who it was. They got smoked, and they played at home, and there's nobody there, just weird as hell. Yeah. So the whole thing is just going to be – we're going to have to fight our way through it and kind of feel it out. So Navy built BYU, then BYU just absolutely trucked them. So that home field didn't matter to Navy on Sunday night or Monday night, so we'll see. Let's get into the picks, though. Let's get into the games. We're doing all divisional games. I guess we should lay out the system here. We will give our three picks on the games that we deem the biggest games of the week. We'll do some locks and upsets, then we'll get out of here. We'll also post later in the week our against the spread picks for every game this week. So that's where you can find those. I know sometimes people have problems with us only doing three games, but yeah, we got stuff to do. Like, we can't be here.
I don't think we pump the tires enough on our how we do all the picks, because then when you see our totals throughout the year, people are wondering, like, how did you get to so many games when you're only picking three a week? It's important that we make that distinction.
Yep. Speaking of which, last year's totals, in case anybody cares, Ricky, you led the way with 130, 118, and 8 pushes. I was second with 122, 126, and 8. And Mike, you were one game behind me, 121, 127, and 8. So, Ricky, you were the champion last year, and good luck this year.
Championship hangover. Let's get into it.
All right, let's start Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., which is just, again, it's wild. We have football this Sunday, NFL, so real games. Start in the AFC North, Cleveland Browns head to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Ravens obviously coming off a great regular season and then a choke job in the playoffs. The Ravens, as it stands right now, I've got them, according to consensus data across the internet, 7.5-point favorites at home, the total right around 48.5. Weather doesn't seem to be much of a factor here. Low to mid 80s, sunny. If anything, it's going to be hot. These two teams actually split last year. Cleveland trounced the Ravens early in that season. Ravens got them back later in the year with a 31-15 win. This is an interesting matchup in a lot of ways, but I think Cleveland, what they can do, kind of coming off of just a train wreck last year. They went out and hired Kevin Stefanski, so they have an adult in the room at the head coaching position now. Lamar Jackson, what can he do as an encore? A lot of kind of, you know, storylines like that. And just, you know, we're AFC North football to start week one. Ricky, who do you like in this one?
I think this was one of my great revelations of our preview episode, that I'm buying into the Browns a little bit as a sort of a post-hype sleeper. I just think that, you know, the holdover talent is apparent. You know, you factor in, you mentioned the coaching change, which I think could be the most significant improvement that they make this year. Their offensive line theoretically should be better. They drafted Jedrick Wills 10th overall, brought in Jack Conklin. You add in Austin Hooper, just another year with OBJ and Jarvis Landry on the offense, a full season of Kareem Hunt. So I think there's a lot to like from a value standpoint of against in favor of the Browns. And when it comes to this game in particular, I can't justify laying this many points in a week one divisional game with no preseason, especially with very little data, as we mentioned, as it relates to home field advantage during a global pandemic. So this is a big spread. I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to take the Browns. I think with the Ravens too, maybe, you know, I think there is some reason to think they might regress a little bit, not just from the, you know, their otherworldly performance last year, but, you know, maybe Earl Thomas's departure hurts on the back end. Marshall Yanda retiring, maybe we're underselling Hayden Hurst's departure. So, I don't know, a lot of unpredictability in week one, big spread, divisional game. I'll take the Browns.
I'm going to disagree with you, Ricky. I'll take the Ravens with the points, 7.5 points favorites. Like, Kevin Stefanski, I like him. I think he'll be great for the Browns, but it is his first game, no preseason. I think that's going to be a huge issue in this one. Baltimore has that stability from last year. They know what we know what Baltimore is. We don't know what the Browns are. And also, if this is worth anything, last year the Browns allowed 413 rushing yards to quarterbacks last season. I think that was the second or third most among all teams, and Lamar Jackson had 169 of those rushing yards. So I still see Lamar Jackson having a field day against this Browns defense. And Baker Mayfield, like, we know who he is. He was guilty of more turnovers than touchdowns last year. Is this going to magically change just because it's a new season? I'm not sure. Maybe not in week one, at least, especially with no preseason. So I'm not sold on the Browns, and I think the Ravens, being the rushing team that they are, they'll take advantage of the Browns, who allowed the third most rushing yards per carry last year.
I will split the difference or settle the score here. I got the Browns as well. I'm with Ricky. Give me the points.
Good call, Mike.
You know, I You look at that that game last year, the one that the Browns won, and maybe I guess, you know, they probably snuck up on a lot of people in that game. But they did a nice job against Lamar Jackson, held him to 247 passing yards, 66 rushing yards, forced a couple of picks. You know, obviously kind of an overhaul in the coaching staff. I was looking up Joe Woods, their new defensive coordinator. Like all the way back in May, he was talking about the importance of slowing down Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, it is going to be an issue because they didn't do a great job slowing down the run last year, especially against quarterbacks, but they did do it in that one game. And I think you can kind of just, you know, their focus for the last however long it's been should be how do we not give up a 50-yard run in, you know, week one against Lamar Jackson. If they can kind of do that, and I think they have the secondary that's going to take away the big game, big play passing game for Cleveland. You know, they have, what is it, Greedy Williams, Denzel Ward on the outside. They went out and drafted Grant Delpit out of LSU. So, you know, there's a pretty good secondary there. They can kind of limit or they can kind of focus on limiting Jackson in the run game. You know, Ricky, you mentioned the offensive line thing. That was the two biggest issues, in my opinion, for the Browns last year were coaching and the offensive line. And they kind of addressed both of those in a big way, really. Also, I like the, you know, you want to talk trends here. Road team 16-5 against the spread in the last 21 games in this series. So, for whatever, I don't know if that means anything or, you know, if you're just looking for reasons to take Cleveland, that's one of them. So, oh, Cleveland also went out and made a nice trade getting Ronnie Harrison from Jacksonville. You know, safety help, take the top off or keep the top on, I guess, if you're looking at defensively. So,
I mean, I just think all of this kind of, you know, you make great points, Mike, but like, you have these new guys on this team. They haven't even played a game together.
But so we don't know. I mean, I guess your point is well taken. Like, it could make a difference. But maybe it doesn't. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
we will see.
Who knows?
Well, like, in this one and in the game we'll get to later, I think the foreignness or the new face or whatever you want to call it maybe actually benefits the team that has the new face. Like, would you rather have Freddie Kitchens coaching this team again or Kevin Stefanski without a preseason? Like, it's – at the very least, it's a push. If not, it's an advantage. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we mentioned this last week that this is, like, maybe the only or one of the few scenarios where it's just, like, anything – any change they had made in that regard was going to be an upgrade because of just the overall lack of discipline on that side.
Yeah.
But this spread is coming down. I think it opened up at 10, so –
yeah, I was going to say, even
I think the Browns might want to get on that.
Yeah, it was even 8.5 a couple of days ago. And that's the thing, too. We should note that we do tape these on Tuesday typically. So the line's probably – I think this line gets down to, at, you know, right around 7, maybe even less than that. That's the other thing, too. Backdoor might be open here, especially with that offense. So we'll see. All right, staying in the North, but the NFC North, we've got the Green Bay Packers going on the road. Another line that's on the move, they're going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Vikings, as it stands right now, according to most places, have it at 2.5. Vikings laying 2.5 at home. So basically, Vegas is saying these two teams are even. Total set at 45.5 right now. Again, different than our first game where Green Bay swept both contests last year. Two low-scoring games. They won earlier in the season, 21-16, and then they won that game in week 16, I think it was. 23-10 on a Monday night in Minnesota, where really they
was it a Monday night? I think it was a Saturday night game.
It was a primetime game. I'm pretty sure it was Monday, but I could be wrong. Maybe it was Sunday. Either way, beat the tar out of them. A game that really probably wasn't even as close as the 23-10 score indicates. Green Bay had its way with Minnesota. The Vikings, I think, are a team that it's interesting to kind of see how they will perform at home without 70,000 people inside their dome. A lot of intrigue with this one. Andre, where do you fall on it?
I love this game. I think it's going to be a great one. I'm going to go with the Vikings minus 2.5 points. It's important to note Dalvin Cook missed that week 16 game last year between the Packers and Vikings.
That's a good point.
And that first game, he rushed for 154 yards and the Vikings still lost. That was the only game in Dalvin Cook's career when he's rushed for more than 85 yards and the Vikings have lost. They're 10-1 when Dalvin Cook runs for more than 85 yards in the game during his career. And, he's going to be the biggest factor in this game. The Packers really didn't do much over the offseason to address their rush defense. They struggled mightily last year. And, you know, that was a huge problem in the playoffs last year for them as well. And I think Dalvin Cook really takes advantage of of the Packers and is a big factor in why they win. And also, what's wrong with the Packers' offensive line? The right side of the offensive line is questions. Matt LaFleur didn't even reveal his starters. That's not a good thing. You kind of want to know who the starters are going to be going into a going into the week one of the regular season. But
I mean, you think?
I'm sorry.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think. It's, you know, but that's. I think the Vikings edge rushers, they're pretty solid. They'll give Aaron Rodgers a hard time. I think this might not even be close. I think the Minnesota wins this one very handily.
I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the Packers. I think ultimately Minnesota rounds into form, but I could see them going through a little bit of an adjustment period early on. I feel like the Vikings are a team where they're susceptible to a slow start, and then sort of Mike Zimmer gets his hands on that defense and they improve and they go on that, you know, 5 or 6 game stretch in the middle of the season where you really get to see their full potential. I think that's a possibility this year, given the defensive turnover. You know, they just added Yannick Ngakoue, but that sort of is meant to offset the loss of Everson Griffin and Linval Joseph. Right. Danielle Hunter, I think, is seemingly he's dealing with a little bit of an injury. I'm not sure what's going on there, but there's something going on down there in camp. Just inexperience in the secondary, which I think will play into Aaron Rodgers' hands. I mean, we could talk all we want about the lack of weapons in Green Bay, but I do think that they'll be able to have success on the ground in this game. And you mentioned, Mike, that the you know they're coming off really the season sweep of them last year. Minnesota, traditionally a team that performs well at home, but again, we don't know what the home field advantage is going to be. So this is one where I might consider taking the Packers with the money line and you know picking them to win outright. I think it's at +120 or +130, depending on what you can get it at. But I think, like I said, at the end of the year, I think the Vikings are going to win that division. I think they're the better team, but I think it's going to take a little bit to get there. So I'll take Green Bay.
Ricky, I'm going to the delight of Andre here, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I like the Packers as well. I actually like I like the money line pick too. I mean, really, if we're dealing with 2.5 points, you might as well take the money line, right? I think it's like +120 or something like that. I'm looking at Christian Kirksey, the guy that the Packers went out and signed in the offseason, inside linebacker. GM Brian Gutekunst was talking about him earlier this week or over the weekend, whenever it was. I don't even know what day it is at this point. But he was talking about – it was kind of a slight at Blake Martinez, who moved on, went to the Giants, saying, like, we have some athleticism in the inside of our linebacking core for once, which is a nice change of pace. Hopefully that helps in the run game if you're the Packers. It sounds like they think it will. And if that's the thing, Andre's right. If, you know, if Dalvin Cook goes off for 170 yards, you know, the Packers probably are not getting back in this game. So that is going to be kind of the big thing. And you would think maybe, you know, the Packers would be have a little bit of a vested interest in trying to slow down the run after getting gashed for what felt like 850 yards in the NFC Championship last year, the last time we saw them at San Francisco. So maybe something to prove there as well. You know, like Kirk Cousins last year, understandably, I get it that one of those games was out that was without Dalvin Cook. He was terrible against the Packers. Yeah. You know, this is a guy who completed fewer than 50% of his passes against the Packers, threw more interceptions than touchdowns, only threw for 352 yards total. He has not played well against the Packers, you know, in his past. There's a lot there that, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right with him.
It's not a primetime game, though. That'll help him.
What's that?
It's not a primetime game, though. That'll help him.
No, that's true, but it is a big division game.
he doesn't have to deal with any crowds this year.
This
season could seriously benefit Kirk Cousins more than anybody in the NFL.
It is going to be really interesting to see how teams like Minnesota handle that without playing in front of – because Minnesota has long – like going back to – the Metrodome even have, you know, that's been a big time home field advantage, right? And like the new, whatever bank stadium they're in now, US Bank Stadium, you know, that has been a place that's treated them very well. The Packers go in there more often than not and look clueless. You know, that's where it's been a house of horrors until last season. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that is affected by, you know, by the lack of a crowd. So, I'll take the Packers, I guess. This game could go either way, obviously. It's a 2.5 point spread. But Actually, I think this one has been bet down too. I think it was up around a field goal, maybe even 3.5. So there's line movement there as well. That's something to keep in mind. All right. Let's move to the NFC South. This is a the mini prime time or afternoon prime time, if you want to call it that. Late afternoon kick. Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, something that probably still won't feel real 15 weeks from now, goes to New Orleans to take on the Saints and Drew Brees. Again, you want to talk about home field advantage. This is another one that is going to be kind of hard to parse through. But the Saints, as it stands right now, according to just about everywhere, laying 3.5 points. The total is at 49. And for what it's worth, the Saints swept both games last year fairly handily. You know, they won one game by a touchdown, and then another one they doubled up 34-17. I guess you can throw that out the window considering Jameis Winston was the quarterback last year. Now you got Tom freaking Brady under center for the Bucs. But who knows how that goes. Ricky, how are you breaking this one down?
You want to talk about knowns and unknowns going into the season? I feel like these two teams are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum, with obviously Tampa Bay being the just a complete wild card with regards to the changes they've made, and New Orleans having as much continuity. We keep throwing that word around. It really is any team in the NFL. And for that reason, I'm gonna side with the Saints in this one. That half point, the hook on the three is making me believe that they're trying to bait me into taking the Bucs here. And I think a lot of people are going to buy into that. And I think that maybe this becomes a field goal game if nothing else, but I need to see what the Bucs offense looks like before putting my eggs in that basket. I mean, I know what the Saints look like, and it's pretty damn good. I could see some week one growing pains with Tampa Bay. I guess what it comes down to is, would I be shocked if Tampa Bay struggled early on offensively? And the answer is no. Would I be shocked if New Orleans struggled offensively in the beginning? And the answer would be yes. So I generally speaking, I don't like to lay the points in a divisional matchup. Week one, given the unpredictability, as we've mentioned in the first, the two matchups that we talked about. But in this case, I'll lay the points and I'll take New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't have that much more to add, Ricky. I think I completely agree with you. I'm gonna go with New Orleans, but also you take a look at Tampa Bay. They had a great team last year, and all the metrics favored the Bucs, and their yards per play differential was very strong. Their problem was the turnovers, obviously. Jameis Winston had 30 interceptions. You're not gonna win many games when you have a quarterback that has 30 interceptions. But one thing we do know about the Bucs coming into this season is their defensively they're going to be solid, but their rush defense was very, very strong last year. They only allowed 100 or more rushing yards three times last season, but twice against the Saints. So I don't know if that made sense. Let me rephrase that.
No, it did. I was just wondering who you were picking. I was like,
I'm picking the Saints. But I'm
saying I understand
the
Bucs
have a great rush defense, but the Saints were successful against the Bucs rush defense.
Well, the Mike Cole there laying out all the reasons to take the other team.
Yeah.
So, we've been known to do that in the past.
Yeah. You know?
We're just disseminating information on a limb. Man.
All right. So they ran well against them last year.
Yes. The Saints ran the ball well against the Bucs, who have a good rush defense last year. So I could see that happening again this year. The Saints have a good running attack with Alvin Kamara and also the unpredictability with the Bucs that you mentioned, Ricky. So for those reasons, I'm going with the New Orleans.
I'll buck this trend and feel good about it. I'm taking the Bucs. Oh, man, made a pun there without even trying. Now I've lost my train of thought. This is something I saw.
Too early, Mike.
Yeah, our good friend. Good friend Joey Oddshark, Joe Osborne. Saints in weeks 1 and 2. From the last, this is probably, 8-9 years, 2-15 against the spread. Historically slow starters at home. Yeah. Didn't they lose to Tampa a couple years ago in week one? They got smoked, too.
Yeah, that was when their New Orleans defense was, historically bad for the first 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden evolved into, one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, so.
Strange there.
Slow starting for whatever reason. Again, this is another one, too, where not playing in front of a sold-out stadium might affect them more than others. That's the thing. If we're going to give and we probably make too much of it in the first place. But if we're going to make it, you know, this big bugaboo where you have to go to New Orleans and play in front of that crowd, then when they don't play in front of that crowd, you got to factor that in too. If you believe in one, you got to believe in the other, at least in my opinion. So, you know, I don't know. It's, I could see this being a 3-point game one way or another, coming down to a late field goal. This is just a wild stat that I wanted to get in here from ESPN Stats and Info. And I think it was VSiN's Ben Fox who kind of pointed this out. Tom Brady has been favored in 74 straight regular season games. This is the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. The last time that he was a regular season underdog, he had to go all the way back to week 2 in 2015 against Buffalo, I believe it was. So, that doesn't really factor into my pick at all. I just think that that's just a bonkers stat.
He against Buffalo?
Yeah, I think it was Buffalo, yeah.
Why was he an underdog in that game?
I think it might have been early. That was maybe a year where Buffalo had a lot of hype going into the year, and they had to go on the road. The game was – I mean, that game almost certainly was in Orchard Park. Like, I don't know. Early in the year, you get that
– ironically, he just completely dominated throughout his entire Patriots tenure.
I know, and I think he did in that game too, if I'm not mistaken. So – that's, you know, I look at the Alvin Kamara thing. I don't think that's going to be an issue. Maybe they get it done, but he missed a few practices last, a couple weeks back, and he's back now. He seems to be saying all the right things, but that's kind of lingering. Maybe they get a deal done and it all goes away, but, something to keep in mind. I don't know. I just think, you know, Andre, to your point, that the turnover thing last year was a huge problem for the Bucks. Now they have arguably, you know, outside of maybe Aaron Rodgers, the guy who is as protective of the football as anyone else in the history of the game. That big issue, their biggest issue, probably will not be a problem for them this year. I wonder
if he's more apt to be a gunslinger this year, though, just because he's not with Belichick.
And... Well, it's going to be in the offense, right? Or at least it has been. And I think that was an interesting quote from Sean Payton. He was asked in his conference call on Monday, like, what do you expect out of what do you expect out of the Bucs offense? And he's like, I think it's actually going to be a little bit of Arians and a little bit of Brady. And that is, if they can find that early on, especially, but if they can find that at some point, that's a hell of a mix, because the Brady, that short passing game kind of, you know, that's it's real tough to defend if he gets the right matchups. But if you start adding in some of that vertical element of the Arians offense, yeah, that becomes a huge thing. I don't know if he's capable of that, but at the same time, it wasn't really in the offense, especially late in his Patriots career, because they didn't have the personnel to do it. Now he does. I don't know. Maybe it takes a few weeks to kind of figure it out, to Ricky's point. But it's a really talented football team. So I just think this game maybe just comes down to a field goal in the last minute, one way or another. I'm not really ready to say who wins this game, but I believe it'll be close, and I'll take the number. I'll take the points.
It feels like that might be the one thing that holds them back, at least initially, is whether they have that sort of identity crisis on offense.
Yeah.
You mentioned, like you said, if they find that right blend, that right mix, then from a talent standpoint, it's going to be nearly impossible to stop this Bucks team. But I'm anxious to see how do they incorporate the ground game alongside that passing attack. I mean, you got Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, Ronald Jones, a lot of mouths to feed there. You know, how do you use your tight ends, specifically Rob Gronkowski? You know, will the offensive line hold up? Is this going to be a situation where Brady adjusts more to Bruce Arians' offense, or is it going to be a situation where Bruce Arians adjusts more to Brady's strengths? So there is just sort of that weird, like, figuring out what this offense is going to look like. Should be good. I just don't know what it's going to look like.
I will say, though, if there's, you know, in that situation where you have a lot of mouths to feed, I don't think you could pick two better diplomats, for lack of a better term, than Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I think they're very universally respected and well-liked among the people they play with and coach. So I wonder, you know, maybe he helps in that regard. Like, it's Tom Brady. It's going to be interesting, because it's not something somebody like a Mike Evans is used to. But, you know, maybe Brady is just that good at being a great teammate or leader or whatever the hell you want to call it, and maybe it works out. It's a fascinating dynamic among the many interesting things we'll be watching in week one early in the season. So, all right, let's get to locks and upsets. We'll start with locks, and we'll start with Andre. Who do you got?
I'm going to take Dallas Cowboys over the LA Rams. And it's only a 3-point spread. I'm not sold on the Rams this year. I think they're the worst team in that NFC West division. I think they're going to take a major step back. They don't have Wade Phillips anymore. And all the metrics last year loved the Dallas Cowboys. They were second in yards for play differential. They were 1-6 in one possession games. One has to think that reverts to the mean this year. So the kicking game wasn't that strong last year. They went and added Greg Zuerlein, which probably impacted them in close games with Brett Maher. Missed like 10 kicks last year. He was 20 of 30. Not good. So I'll take Dallas. They have an explosive offense. The metrics like them, and no Wade Phillips for the Rams. I think that's going to be a problem.
Bigger question here is, who are you rooting for? This is the Andre Khachaturian Bowl.
This is the Andre Khachaturian Bowl. I'm gonna side with the Cowboys this year.
Okay, until they lose.
Whoever's a better team, I'm gonna cheer for them. I'm a bandwagon guy. I'm from LA. That's what we do.
I think there might be a few other teams lurking out there. I don't know if you're limited to just those teams. Especially after your Arizona Cardinals talk.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Cardinals when we get to my upset.
That could be – you once said you looked like the mascot. I'll never forget
I
that.
I do look like the mascot.
Got that going for you.
Ricky, who's your lock?
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills, 6.5-point favorites over the Jets. I'll probably move off this game. I'll probably move off this game by the time Sunday rolls around, just by virtue of it being a divisional game and that being a pretty sizable spread. But I just can't overlook what the Jets have lost on defense. Arguably, their two best players in Jamal Adams and C.J. Mosley, already dealing with injuries to their wide receiving core. Offensive line might be better this year, but dealing with 100% turnover, so I don't know what that's going to look like. And the Bills, defensively, they're returning their strong core. I think the offense takes another step forward this year under Josh Allen. I like the Bills a lot in that AFC East, and I think it starts this week.
I like the Detroit Lions at home as 3-point favorites against Chicago. I think this one actually opened Chicago laying a point on the road, which I would have loved to turn around and make this my upset pick in that regard, but the line has obviously moved quite a bit, and I think for good reason. I think Detroit is what team that we talked about in our preview episode is kind of a dark horse for some people. I just think Matthew Stafford, if he's healthy, makes a huge difference. Obviously not saying anything groundbreaking there. Sounds like he's healthy. Chicago, a terrible road team last year, especially down the stretch, 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 road games. I just don't think Chicago is very good, so I'm going to be fading them early on, at least until they can prove otherwise. Trubisky looks like he's going to be the starter there. It just feels like they're headed for a quarterback controversy. So give me the Lions at home in this one to start the season against the Bears. Upset, Ricky, who do you got?
It's like the Dolphins, 6.5-point underdogs against the New England Patriots, plus 250 on the money line. I think they win this game outright. Ended last season with a win in New England. I think they begin this season in the same fashion. It's just that Patriots team, we make a lot of the quarterback situation and how Cam Newton's going to adjust to that offense. But I can't look past the turnover on defense, particularly at the second level, losing a lot of those linebackers who ironically all pretty much went to Miami, it seems like. So I think that this is a game where Miami has success on the ground with Jordan Howard and Matt Breida sort of slicing through the teeth of that defense. And I also don't know what the Patriots offensive line will look like. I mean, last time Dante Scarnecchia went off the grid for a little bit, we saw the impact that had. So maybe the Patriots struggle in that area as well. I just think that this Patriots team from a talent standpoint on paper doesn't look good to me. Weapons in the trenches, really anywhere. The only place that they seemingly have a strength at this point is in that secondary. But I think the Miami Dolphins do enough offensively without targeting that secondary that they are able to pull off a win in 5.
Yeah, I also like just Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starter. You know what you're going to get from him. He's a good quarterback. I like him. I'm going to take Arizona over San Francisco. Those are two teams that I talked a lot about in the preview episode.
Yeah.
I don't have San Francisco making the playoffs this year. I think they have a big Super Bowl hangover. In fact, the last 6 NFC champions have had an average of 3.5 fewer wins the following season. I think the 49ers fall in that trap this year because of inconsistency at quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just like Arizona. You have Kyler Murray entering with 1 year in his belt. Like, he showed a lot of there was a lot to like about him in this first year. I think he's going to continue to develop. And the Cardinals couldn't cover tight ends last year. And obviously the 49ers have the best tight end in the league, George Kittle. They went and they drafted Isaiah Simmons. I think he's going to help them a lot, especially in this game. There's a lot to like about Arizona. That's a seven-point spread. I definitely think they cover, but I'm going to go a step further and say they outright win this game as well.
Andy Isabella season in Arizona this year. Yes. Keep an eye out for him.
They have some weapons.
Yeah.
They have weapons.
Also, to again, going back to trends that probably don't mean much of anything, Super Bowl loser, 4-16 against the spread in week one coming off of their Super Bowl loss. So another one going in Andre's direction there. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers, a team that I don't think is going to be very good at all, but I think they're going to pull the upset in week one against the Las Vegas Raiders, a game that's being played in Charlotte. This is another one. I'm actually on the right side of the line movement here. I almost call them Charlotte. Carolina opened as a 1-point favorite. Now they're getting 3 at home with a new head coach. And again, going to buck that trend of, we don't know the uncertainty, et cetera, et cetera. New coach and new quarterback. But I just think Matt Rhule is going to have his team ready to go. I think he's one of those guys who's just full energy all the time. I think it makes a difference. I think he's going to have his team playing pissed off being the underdog at home. I just think it's a new era, whatever you want to call it. I'm also very interested to see what new offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who came from LSU, is able to do with Christian McCaffrey. It's going to be real interesting to see that with him and Teddy Bridgewater. So I think this is – I don't think Carolina is going to be very good all season long, but I do think this is a good spot for them. So I'll take the Panthers getting 3 at home against a Raiders team that may not be very good anyway. So
classic case of that of the change, I think, benefiting Carolina.
I agree.
I think they're one of those teams that, I think, that old regime grew stale a little bit towards the end.
I have a fantasy football draft tonight. I have the first pick. I got to take McCaffrey, right? Is that what everybody's doing?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Unless you want to make an argument for Saquon.
I guess
I may not fight you on that. I don't know.
I would trade your first pick and try to stock up some later.
Get some draft capital.
I was gonna say for next year too, when things go back to normal.
Just stock it up as a rebuild year for your team.
I'm in the
luxury tax.
We did something new this year. We did the fantasy draft order on the Kentucky Derby. So Andre, you and I, both big winners out of the Kentucky Derby. I saw you had an authentic.
I had authentic.
Yeah, nice pick. So
thank you. You as well.
All righty. Let's get out of here. That's the spread in NFL week one. It feels good. A little different. This is kind of odd. We'll get used to it. We'll figure it out. But it's good to be back in the saddle again. So for Ricky and Andre, I'm Mike. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for joining us. Subscribe, rate, review. We're on iTunes now. I probably should have mentioned that a lot earlier, but
And Spotify.
So leave us a 5-star review. Say how great we are. We'll really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining us. See you.